Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to the After Things podcast. I'm Ader Mean, joined by Mr. Bryce Castillo.
Hi, that's me.
Justin Robert Young.
Hey.
All right, let's spoil us some Stranger Things. If you've not watched Stranger Things Season 3, tune out now. If you don't care to watch Stranger Things Season 3, then listen to us. But I don't know why you would listen to us.
So the both of you have seen all of Season 3.
Please tell us your viewing strategy. Okay. How did you do this?
So I've done this many times, to which I think to strong success, the idea of, just watch the season finales of shows. Watch the first episode and watch the last episode.
No, but this is a technique that Bryce has spoken about multiple times on Night Attack.
This is news to me. I should have watched that final episode of Weird Things to know this.
I'm just saying. Because you, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Bryce, you've primarily done this with animes, which very often can be notoriously
bloated,
voluminous in their episodes and very slow moving in their pacing. Right. And so if you watch the beginning and the end, then at the very least, you know, like, oh, wow, a lot of things happened. I'm curious to see how we evolve from here to there without just being frustrated by a slow moving plot.
And I feel like I've gotten a lot out of that technique. What was that Netflix show about the kids who end up in an abandoned version of their town? The Society. I did that with The Society on Netflix, and the season finale sucks, so I didn't watch the show. There's an anime on Netflix that I watched, and the end's this cool, trippy quantum mechanics time travel thing, and so I'll get to watch the rest of that show. But I did that with Stranger Things because apparently I did finish season two. I thought I didn't even finish season two, but I watched the recap and I was like, no, I remember all of this. So that made me think, well, I can probably just see where this all goes to, and I can extrapolate, and if it's worth it, then maybe I'll see where we got. But I don't know. How did you guys feel about season three?
Where to start? So season three, obviously this was supposed to be kind of a reboot season for them. The Duffer Brothers were public about the fact that they felt that they went too quickly into season two, in part because with child actors, you need to make sure that you're shooting things as quickly as possible so they don't rapidly look different than how they did before, but also because of pressure from Netflix. This time they took a lot longer time to shoot it and write it. So I will say, going into this, because it colors how I thought about it, I wound up reading randomly on the internet while it was either casting or shooting that there were a lot of Russian characters. And the speculation was that this was going to be kind of a Red Dawn inspired season. And if you're unfamiliar with the film Red Dawn, it was an 80s movie that effectively gave the premise is that the Russians and the Cubans team up to take over America, and the town that our main characters are in, high school age main characters, then basically have to like form a resistance in small town America, and that is kind of the plot there, is that they have to fight back against the communists as they take over this town. And it really taps into the very childlike idea of like, man, I'll bet you nobody can take us if they're trying to find us in these woods, right? That we know our town better than anybody knows our town. We'd be able to fight back. So I thought, like, wow, that's a really rad premise. If you take the Stranger Things cast, which are, you know, they were kind of jocks in the Red Dawn movie, these guys are nerds. This is, you have the addition of a superpowered child. So it's like, that could be cool. Wow. Look at this. You could do, you know, and then you could also work in some of the mind control-y, upside downy kind of stuff into it. Like, I'm like, man, that would be a rad way to take it. And then you find out as you watch the show that it's like, no, we're doing the same thing again. There's some creatures from the upside down and they're tied to the upside down, and there's going to be another big laser cannon that's opening up a crack in the universe. And this time it's the Russians, because it'd be stupid if we had the same shadowy corporation do it a third time. So now we'll do it with Russians. And it's like, all right, I guess there was a lot that through the first six episodes, there was a lot that I liked more in the first six episodes than I did in season two. But by the end of it, it's like, I just don't know where we're going with this here, guys. Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the first four. The first four I thought were solid. I said, you know, they're not. I think season two had some really fun high points initially, and then they did the crazy tangents with the sister story, which was just so pointless for me. Here, I thought it was a lot more, you know, streamlined, and four episodes in, I'm cool. And man, it went off the rails. And then what I was like, kind of first four, I'm like, it's a little silly. And then it got sillier and then dumber and dumber, in my opinion. I mean, I've never written anything like this, so my hat's off to the Duffer Brothers for creating Stranger Things, be able to do this, but it turned into like the dumbest G.I. Joe cartoon I've ever seen. You know, we start off like when in the mall, where we see in the back, you know, we see the delivery show up and we see guys with Kalashnikovs, okay? Yeah. AKs, mm-hmm. You know, these Russian rifles. I'm like, that's a dumb thing for somebody who's trying to do something secret to have on them in Indiana, because
in a mall. If
you're about, oh yeah, I'm like yeah, like you're in the back of a mall, whatever. And I'm like that just seems. If you want, like, just make them look like regular security guards. Give them like having them have AK-47s, which was just a dumb idea. And I'm like, you could read them as, we could figure out they're Russians because maybe they're actually just talking in Russian on the radios. But that was just like a random cop going to the mall sees this. There's their plan to shoot him. It was a dumb choice. And then, you know, when we get in underground the mall, how do the Russians have this secret base? They're running around in Russian uniforms and full military regalia and all this. It was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is dumb cartoon stuff. Like, you could have secret Russians under the mall, you could do all this sort of stuff, but like, you know, make them work for Intercorp or something like this. And oh no, there's an energy. There were so many leaps of logic that drove me crazy, because I'm like, it didn't need to be that. They just needed to have somebody in the writer's room going, how do we make our characters smarter? Because that's one of the mm-hmm. the show's best when people act smart. It's bad when people are dumb. And then, you know, then we get the whole, you know, once Hopper, they find that other house with this, the power relay underneath it, they're like, okay, he's the chief of police, you know?
At what point does he call up the chain? At what point, you know, eventually there's this, this moment where they have their contact with Paul Reiser, who they had made contact with in season two. But it's like, there was a lot of points where I'm like, man, no one's like, you guys are like best friends with the chief of police. And like, granted, there's like some story elements of why one of the characters might be cross with him, but it's like, nobody else.
There's not an agency dealing with this.
He's
not calling. He's not like, hey, National Guard, like, this is getting out crazy. We need to go check out this house here. Again, if they want to get to where they want to get to in the story, is like, fine, they show up and there's been a fire and the power company's like, now there's a transformer blew up. Okay, cool. And then like, you know, and we saw Hopper there acting mysterious, weird, like, oh, maybe he sabotaged it. He is kind of nuts or something. They could have done something like this 4 minutes, 5 minutes to create a subplot of why he's not trusted, whatever. Instead, they have him act dumb. Everybody acts dumb. And that's my problem, is this is like to get to where they wanted to get to, it's this sort of like, it'll be fun. Like, no, it's bad writing. It's like, I loved comparing to Spider-Man. I'm watching a movie about a kid with spider powers. And I don't quite know how they work, but I believe everybody's acting pretty smart. The 16-year-old kid is acting intelligently. You know, I think the other people there, for whatever mistakes they make, you kind of understand later on why they made those mistakes. This, you know, this just drove me nuts, because I'm like, nobody, you have a house with a friggin' transformer underneath it where you arrested a Russian and you spend the day. There's no reason. And then like, well, we'll call the one guy, and, you know, told my girlfriend when they called him, like, yeah, the army's going to show up after the problem's solved. It's
going to
be
last minute. They show up immediately after the mind flayer is destroyed. On a dime, they show up.
I called that the moment they finally reached him. And I said, this was what drove me nuts, is I kept saying,
this is what's going to happen. The kids are having an argument, like when Elle says, I can't find them. And the kids are arguing, what do we do? I'm like, if she just walks in and says, hey, I found them, to stop the argument, I'm going to be really pissed. Argue. She walks in, I found them. I'm like, this is dumb. This is so predictable and dumb. It's predictable because if you figure out what's the dumbest way they could resolve it, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It is just a franchise that I'm just unsure of its purpose, because initially the show that I really fell in love with was like, okay, we have a really cool, interesting science fiction premise where we're going to drop like a really sympathetic Carrie into, the Goonies. Right. And now with those two things together, we can go anywhere we want. We can literally have anything happen. We can have every fantastical 80s movie happen in this little town. And we're always going to be forgiving of the fact that it's like, this season it's pirate treasure, and this season it's a serial killer, and the next season it's the gremlins, right? Like, there's a million different things that can happen, and we can always understand that they will have a way to get out of it, and we can watch these characters grow. I don't know. There was just, it may be like that beginning part, and I'm like, oh man, well, this is really cool. All right, so I'm not in love with the fact that the Mind Flayer is our big bad again for the third season in a row. But I do like the idea that all, like, the Russians are like, they built this mall so they could have this other thing. I'm like, oh, and then we have the shady mayor. Wouldn't it be crazy, right, if like the Russians think they're doing this thing and they're trying to stay covert, and this is before it gets into like the fact that there's the goddamn Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade Nazi castle underneath Hawkins.
Spaceballs. It became Spaceballs.
Spaceballs, right? But it was like, okay, man, wouldn't it be cool if the Mind Flayer, because these people are all meeting secretly, now the people that he's all, the Mind Flayer doesn't realize that, the geopolitical spectrum of what's happening, that he is like, he keeps infecting more and more of the Russian conspiracy that has like taken over this town, and now they start acting more aggressively, which brings like, a Cold War clash that now these kids are at the epicenter of. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Oh no, we're not going to do any of that. We're going to have a bunch of like 10-minute scenes that no matter how close to death these kids are, there's a certain point in which, and this is a great creature horror sequence in the show, that the Mind Flayer has now turned into this like Godzilla style creature that is now stalking through the woods of this small town
near the fun fair, and near the fun fair, and you're waiting for this thing because that's been in all the artwork. Like, what's going to happen? No, don't worry. The fair is fine.
Yeah, it's going to go the other way, and then beyond that, once Eleven rips his face in half, then it just is like screaming and crying next to the next to the house, and they just like peace out and then have like another three scenes where they can talk about their feelings for each other.
Yeah.
At a certain point, I'm like, wait, are we ever going to go back to like the main villain with its face ripped in half? Like, did it slink off into the woods? Like,
let's have an argument about this, why Hopper and Joyce should get together, even though our last emotional scenes with Joyce were her seeing her ex-boyfriend on the couch watching Cheers together, and we're like, wow, I really miss Sean Astin. He was really good for her. Yeah, but Hopper's here. No, Hopper's an asshole. Hopper's a drunk. Like, Hopper's the worst thing for her. Oh, wouldn't it be... No, don't go there, because, there's a lot of this, what if we ship these people? Like, why didn't I ask you to? Like, we don't need to. Here's my, one of the things I rant about is people sometimes confuse. They think sometimes what we think is a genre is more of a milieu or environment or a setting. And genre, when you think about from a structural point of view, is a very good way to approach things, to say like, a thriller is, there's the physical danger. You're trying to outrun or trying to stop a physical danger to you. Action movie is things that have action or change the environment around you, trying to solve this problem, prevent this thing from happening in a sequence of events. A road movie, you're going from point A to point B, whatever, trying to resolve stuff. spy movies are, there's going to be a layer, there's genres the way you apply to this. And I'll ask, this is a question, I may have asked this before. What genre, structurally speaking, is Harry, are the Harry Potter books and movies?
Structurally speaking, they're almost like murder mystery, like mysteries almost, because there's always, you find out Voldemort. It's always, it's Voldemort at the end.
Well, yeah, no, but every book or every movie, there was a new mystery that was either related to the core mythology or something that was happening. It's like at some point, Harry Potter is mysteriously entered into the Triwizard Cup. And right. No matter what, everything will be moving toward him either competing in this thing that he wasn't ready for or figuring out why that happened while multiple actors are trying to figure it out.
Yeah, the actions of the character, the conflict is why is this happening? Let's find the reason. Let's find out who's behind it. That's what the kids are doing throughout the books. Mm-hmm. Really bad attempts at Harry Potter don't get that. They're like, we'll have broomsticks and this thing and all this. While J.K. Rowling, really what she did is she wrote really good mystery stories set in this wonderful environment. And they're fantasy, they're all these other elements, but you could pull all the fantasy elements out of there and you could put these kids in a boarding school somewhere and it'd be pretty damn good books. First Stranger Things was a mystery. What happened to Will Byers? And then we find out what's going on in this laboratory. What are this thing going around killing people? And you're trying to find these. And when you find the answer to a mystery, well, Will Byers was abducted by this weirdo thing from another. Like, holy cow. Well, how do we solve that? And then we got to go in the upside down and all this sort of stuff. That's what made it so cool was filled with these mysteries. What happened to this person here? What happened to there? Season 3, none of that. I'm like, what? It's like they watched 80s movies and said, oh, we'll have a guy that looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, we'll have a thing that looks like this. Those were all structural, genres. This wasn't.
It felt the little bit that I watched, it reminded me of watching the, not the old series, but the more recent MTV, the Teen Wolf show, where it's like, there's like a monster of the year, but it's really just a teen drama with these characters kind of coming in and out, and there's some supernatural stuff, but it's also just kind of small town drama. Yeah. And it is very circular, right? It's just kind of, let's see what we can get out of these people and these relationships, and not like dealing with problems.
And I watched the first few episodes of Teen Wolf. I thought it was really well done because part of it, it's like it's a teen soap opera, and at the center of it is a kid going through these really radical changes. You know, you keep coming back to, and it could be like aggressive puberty. The story. Mm-hmm. Here's my other main big criticism of this show was. Season 1, we meet this group of kids. You know, we meet Lucas, we meet Will, we meet Michael, we meet Dustin. They have a very interesting world. They're a little bit outsider kids. They're picked on, but man, they're the four coolest kids in school because they have hobbies, they have interests, they do stuff. They do role-playing games. They're on the radio. They're exploring the world around them. They have questions about how things work, science. They know all this sort of stuff. Season 2 starts to fade a bit. Like, we'll put them in Ghostbusters costumes and stuff. Season 3, none of that. Dustin goes off to science camp, which sounds kind of cool. Mike and Lucas, you know, like, well, they discover girls. Oh, yeah. You know, we all discover girls or, the sex we're interested in at that point. Mm-hmm. We don't lose all interest other than that. You know, you share these things. You know, we cut to Mike and Elle, and it's like, oh, they're always making out. Like, they're like, one, she's got like developmental disabilities, and it's creepy now watching this kid who's a very articulate, intelligent kid making out with a girl who can't even put out together complete sentences. They're not in there watching. They're not, I love them playing video games. I don't know, but not like they're watching cool movies and stuff and doing stuff or getting into things that teens or preteens got into at that period. They have zero sort of thing. You know, Lucas and Max exist just to have this sort of couples argument. These kids have no interest. We know the only person I think has any interest is Max in her skateboard because we saw a body double with very thick calves do some skateboarding moves, you know, and then it was like, that was the end of it. That was the end of it, you know. Will wants to still play D&D because this kid went through some horrible trauma that nobody's really helping this kid get through. Yeah. You know, Dustin was still kind of, but I'm like, these kids became boring. They were like, why am I watching these kids?
Yeah, because they're not, they took on, they took on the lives of superheroes as far as storytelling goes. But the thing about superheroes is that their lives revolve around beating up bad guys and maybe the person, the citizen that they care about, not like being a multifaceted person.
And it was like,
you can be the better seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where they roll their eyes the fourth time that some supernatural element is trying to eliminate their hometown, and be like, here we go again. But we're excited because that's what this show is about. We're excited every time this thing happens, and that's the final episodes were very, very frustrating to me, just because it's like a countdown to, all right, if it's a supernatural thing that's happening, it's a countdown to when Eleven shows up so she can push it with her, I'm going to squint and put my hands out powers. Or if it's a physical threat, it's a countdown to when Hopper shows up and, punches somebody. That by the end of it, they eventually, for whatever reason, for a show that has spent now three seasons dealing with the superpowers and the universe of the Upside Down, I'm still not totally clear exactly how it works. I still don't really know exactly what Eleven's powers are. I have no idea by the time that they go away in the final episode, exactly why they've gone away. Or
if they can come back, if she's just a normal girl now.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no sense. Nobody has warned us of it. No one has made mention of me. Will makes a point throughout the season to be like, no, I hope you don't die exhibiting your powers. But there was never a moment of they might just go away, or whether or not that'd be a blessing or a curse. I mean, look, if you want to do the X-Men, do the X-Men. Have the science teacher open up a school for the gifted because he finds out about L. And then, his, whatever proto Usenet group has also been identifying other gifted teens, and then do it.
I mean, there are we could so many different ways it could have gone, and just speaking to the way that it did go, my issues is just the execution of itself, where this is what worked before, and then now we'll throw all that out the window because they got, and they add characters. I thought Max was more well developed this time. I was glad to see that she wasn't girl Bart Simpson like she was in season two.
I thought probably the strongest elements of the season for me were the stuff with her and Elle, although there is a very inconsistent element, as you touched on, Andrew, on whether or not is she cousin Balky in terms of her English, or is she just kind of a quiet kid? Because I'd always thought of her as a quiet kid, but then in these fairly fun scenes with her and Max, where they're bonding as young women, there's just a lot of I am you are
dressed. You're oh my god, and we're watching this Mike kid is your girlfriend's development, this might be in a form of abuse, So I had issues with that. I thought that Maya Hawke's character was cool, but except for what they wanted to do with that was so Steve was their friend. Steve and her get along. And then Dustin's hey, you guys should. And then finally Steve's I like you. And she's I like girls. And they're oh, was. Hey, audience, how do you feel about that now? I'm I don't know. I liked her. She's always been cool. Maybe we could have just established that early on, because I didn't care where this went. I would just have had her been part of the story. And we're cool with this. Steve was cool. We're cool. What was the point? It wasn't Steve was oh my god, girls can like girls.
And if you want to set up a real strong just friendship relationship where there's no expectation of that, you don't need to go at a romantic angle up until you have to, to commit to it and say, oop, nope, now we're going this way. You can just go that way from the beginning and keep it platonic the entire time. You don't have to matter that way.
Yeah, because it didn't matter at all. And they spent so much energy trying to get us to think this is, and this is the twist, and it's this is 2019. That's not a twist anymore. It's like, you know, it's like Solo. She takes off the mask. It's a girl. Oh my God. Girls can be actresses. You're like, no, we know this. We're ahead of you here. Start off with that. Let us watch a really wonderfully well-drawn, strong female character who, whatever, let's just go with that instead of your, who are you? It felt like you're trying to teach a lesson to like maybe a 1980s audience. I don't know.
It also felt like a lesson that we'd kind of learned before, even before we get to the lesbian revelation. It's like, Steve is an asshole. It's like, yeah, no, that was pretty much the point of all of season two. Like the best part of season two was him and Dustin together, where we now realize like, okay, separated from his high school dynamic, he actually kind of has a heart of gold and wants to make Dustin just to be a more self-confident version of himself. And then, you know, the big character moment that he gets is like, hey, you don't even remember me from high school. And he's like, I don't know. I guess maybe I don't. Like, I was real thick. Yeah. Cool. Moving on.
The Erica character, the actress who plays her, great job. You know, Erica's a person like everything that came out of her mouth, I agree with. I think she's got a lot of strong, good viewpoints on things. Yeah. Not a thing that I believe a 10-year-old is going to say or do. And a 10-year-old that is in strong denial of how geeky or smart they are. You know, that was like, she just got to be like, it was just.
She felt almost mascot-y in that sort of way. Very catchphrase. Like the one you would have, like, I don't know if this is a Netflix thing, but I feel like a lot of times with these streaming shows, they will have bits or characters or entire shows, in the case of the Bill Nye Show, that are just made so that people can put a subtitle on it and make a GIF on the internet. And that character felt a little bit like that in the little bit that
it also, to me, was a it continued to take away any tension I had in the scenes. Because it's like, it's one thing, it's like, look, we like these kids. We know these kids are overmatched, and whether they're facing demons from the hellscape, or the town bully, or you know, a murderer or whatever, we know that they're going to be overmatched. But it's like, I don't know if that makes it, if it's a hat on a hat to then give our child protagonist a younger child, you know, to look out for. And by the time that they're like swinging into action heroically, it's like, is this supposed to be more exciting or more tension? Well, because I'm afraid this 10-year-old's going to get murdered.
Here's the problem with the Erica character, the Max character, and the Robin character is they have no flaws. They have zero flaws. They're written as, because, you know, Stranger Things first season, like, there's not a lot, there are no real young girls there. And if you want to bring a larger audience and not just make it a boys show, which is great. You had four boys with complexity who had flaws, who had strengths and had weaknesses. They had vulnerabilities to them that made them real. Robin, Max, and Erica don't have those, as far as I can tell. They're trying to create strong characters, which I think is great, but a strong character should be realistic and have some vulnerabilities or something like there. And the fact they didn't have them just made them feel almost like they're separate from sort of the story. You know, the problem with Max's character in season two, she didn't do anything other than they're like, yeah, we need to introduce a female character. Like, yeah, let's introduce a really well-developed one, and that's even better, you know? Sure. Let's just not create a cartoon character of what we think a strong character should be. Let's make them real.
Yeah. And when you only have 8 episodes this season, and if you're continuing to add even more characters into it, that just...
7, if you take out the never-ending story montage.
God, that was so long! The singing never-ending story over the ham radio in a way that, look, if we're going to just put this out here, that's not how that would work. They would be talking over each other. That one. Anyway, I don't know. It felt like I felt that the end of the finale episode really put a cherry on things. We fought the thing, all of the military came in, we covered up everything, maybe someone will figure something out, people are moving away, people died, and it felt like, hey, you know what, that could be an okay finale. But the fact that they made a point to like have this like credits sequence where the Russians like definitely still have more monsters and probably have another gate. Like, how are we going to like stitch back all of these characters again? Because I can't imagine they're going to let these people go. I don't think that's going to happen. They could have done it after season one, but they're not going to. I don't even know what you do now for Stranger Things.
I mean, they could do. The show could go anywhere, could do anything. I just wish they would do it well. You know, comment was made like, you know, it seemed like it was just sort of a fun thing. Why this much conversation about it? Because, in my opinion, season one, series was amazing. It was, and I was one of the early watchers of this thing that nobody told me go watch this thing because I watched it when it just first came out. And I'm like, what a joy. And to discover without somebody telling you about this, and then to call up friends and say, you got to watch this thing and be like, this is really friggin' amazing. This is going to blow up. And then you watch this thing blow up. And because it was so good, to see how good it could be and then how much it's affected culture, pop culture, the reason it affects this is like, just a fun thing, like, then it's irrelevant to me now if this is what the show is, because I don't, you know, it becomes like Star Wars has become. You know,
and look, I remember where I was. I was in the Democratic National Convention in 2016 when I was on the phone doing this show and the phrase that will always stick with me on like, why is Stranger Things special? Because it's the Stephen King movie that Steven Spielberg never got to do. Right. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, oh, man, you think of like that as your like log line in your head and you're like, oh my God, that would have been like the biggest movie of the 80s. And obviously they have all these roots in these things. And so, yes, I agree with you, ICU. Now it is just a bit of fun 80s send up. And now it's Spaceballs. And that's fine. Like, if that's what it wants to be, that's what it wants to be. But man, that promise of like, let's take these great stories that like were archetypical of the 80s and have a little bit of a built-in allowance for like, and now ghosts can be real, and now a serial killer can never die, and now a robot can come from the future, right? Like that, these like great kind of science fiction, paranormal 80s ideas, and now put it on a show. It's like, oh wow, that's a great idea, but we're not doing that. We're just gonna do 14 more.
And it doesn't even want to be what it tries to be. Like, you know, that last episode, and you're watching the Never Ending Story song in the middle of this thing. They're like, yeah, don't worry, everything's fine. There's no weight here. There's no tension here. This is because we're putting this silly song number in the middle of what's supposed to be a super, and everybody's having fun singing this song, and we'll get some strange looks from people is going on.
But literally, like, everyone else is in mortal jeopardy at that moment. They have time is of the essence, and we're doing this send up.
I'm supposed to feel good about this as I'm as a viewer. What am I supposed to be as somebody who cares, you know, and who's invested in the story? And it's like, my joke was like, yeah, it's like for Bert, it's like the Bird Box of Stranger Things, you know. It's like, it's you know, going to a haunted house in a kindergarten. It won't really be scary, you know. Also, and that was
in universe, Susie killed Hopper. Like the Terminator guy gets there just in the nick of time as they're about to turn the keys. Had she not decided to sing the full song of the Never Ending Story and demand it before she gave the information, in universe, Hopper's still alive.
Well,
Elle doesn't have a dad because she needed to
sing. In her defense, but I'll tell you, here's the funny thing. In her defense, she didn't know the reality of it because her Jack. When they walked, when Joyce and Hopper walked into the control room and Joyce stops and they have this conversation, I'm like,
yeah,
well, this is bad because this is going to come down to 1 second difference later on. I said that too. Did I say that? Yes, I said that. And then next thing you know, Hopper's about to boom. I'm like, why must I see these things before they happen? I'm like, well, because what's going to be a dumb choice? They're going to make that choice.
Yeah.
Well, and also it's like, really, that's the only the stories that they decided to tell with Hopper and Elle, those were the only stories that we get. I mean, to kill that character.
Well, is he dead? Because
he better be
turned on. What's that?
He better be.
Well, I'm sorry. there was no goo like there was with the other people who got zapped. And remember in the post-credit sequence, do we get the American? No, get the other one. And there's a sealed door, which depending upon, let's see if there's going to be a Hellboy 2. There won't. yes. The availability of Dan Harmer.
That's going to suck.
And that's fine, right?
No.
But still.
Yeah,
to make that pop, to make us care, like I've really, part of the fun part of season one is like, oh, wait, I'm excited for this show now because, Hopper's an interesting character. Eleven's a very interesting character. Like now that kind of father-daughter dynamic is something that should have a lot of rich stuff. And like we get all the frustration. But basically the only story that they can tell is, boy, is it hard raising this girl. And Hopper, man, what a gruff guy. Now raising this daughter of his. Boy, howdy, is that rough. And it's like, we get this, I think, a very effective, final moment where she's like reading the letter that he had written at the beginning. And I'm like, man, just maybe some of that humanity, maybe some of that, like in any way during like the entirety of this series, like there's some element of complexity, like some, I don't know.
That letter, by the way, like, you know, when he's trying to say the things, whatever, he decides his pocket, whatever, it was like, I'm like, oh, this will come out later. And I watched A Star Is Born, and I'm like, oh, the poem thing that you wrote. I'm like, well, this is what, spoiler, I'm like, well, this is what she's going to sing when he dies. But it worked, you know, but it was just that, like, that trope. I'm like, you know, like, well, here's this trope again. And, you know, but also, like, and we're talking about, like, those were Joyce's words.
Yeah. Well, until the him ending it or whatever, like it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's a very I really both the Hopper and Winona Ryder stuff. I was like, I don't get where we're going with this. And then the Steve and Robin thing, I was like, well, I really don't know where you want me. Like, I don't know where you want me emotionally with this, because like I found them both charming together. You've led me down this path to where like, okay, well, this is somebody that Steve, as somebody that isn't going to college, like that maybe this is where we're going to take this kind of stuff. Oh, wait, I mean, is it like a Chasing Amy kind of thing? Like, are we like going to explore like what happens if somebody who is, you know, identifies as gay has feelings for somebody who is
No, straight. Not 2019. Like, no,
we're not.
No.
We're not. And so it's like, well, okay. Well, then kind of weird because we were literally led all the way down here. Like, so unless you want me to just put a banana cream pie in my face and say, ooh, silly dilly dokio, aren't I an idiot? Whatever. Okay. And then the Hopper thing, it's like, so you're showing us these scenes of how fresh the memory of Winona Ryder's ex dude is, who sacrificed himself heroically, whose art is on their fridge for being a superhero. And it's like, but no, the guy who literally 24 hours ago made such an ass out of himself because of a scheduling error at the local Italian restaurant and then drove drunk home because he's above the law. Like, yeah. He's the guy who, with this fragile woman who we care about, who has done nothing but selflessly look out for her son and the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And hey, Jake Busey was perfect Jake Busey. That was peak Jake Busey.
I thought that was something where it's like, all right, a little on the nose here. We're just going to like make the mustache twirling villains, but whatever. He's Jake.
Well, Busey. But they never even rose above. I mean, that was, I guess, the one of the frustrating things for me was, you know, when the whole army of pod people are there, you're like, oh, well, this is going to be interesting. No, does not go anywhere. They literally, the only reason they needed to take over a body entirely was to quash a story at the newspaper.
I guess, I mean, I can't remember whether or not, did we get confirmation on exactly at what point they were all pod people? Had they been pod people the entire time?
That Billy apparently was quietly amassing an army of odd people to.
And also Billy, I don't care. I don't.
No, Billy was a force-fed character in season two that was kind of an attempt at the Stephen King sort of, let's have a mortal bad guy who's really a source of menace, and he was just pushed into there, didn't work, whatever. This was all about justifying why Billy existed. And that horrible, horrible, like, L scene. Oh, I see. Your mom was nice and your dad was abusive towards you. And then it was like, oh, this is. And then when Billy's about to, like, you know, take over, you know, L, and she's like, your mother was beautiful. I'm like, your mother's name is Martha. It was like a Martha moment. It was so bad. Like, this is like, you know, screenplays by people who've never had their asses kicked by bullies. Here's one of the things you never do. Don't bring up their mother. Do not bring up your mother if you're trying to stop somebody from kicking your ass. Yeah, the monster can. Right. It was just. But hey, the CGI fireworks they used against the monster, that was great.
It was a very spectacle moment. That was the moment that made me go, okay, so they're treating these like blockbusters. They're trying to treat these as like the summer yearly blockbuster movies, but also they're 9 hours long, and they also still don't feel like they get anywhere new or any. Enough space for any one person to.
You wanted to make Predator. You didn't even make Commando. You made Raw Deal. <You
know? laughs> Oh gosh.
I gotta run. Hey, if you haven't watched Stranger Things yet, watch it. Maybe you'll enjoy it more than we did.
Season one.
And they could turn it around. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm still gonna subscribe to their newsletter. I want them to succeed, and it's easy for me to nitpick because I only have to watch it. I don't have to make it.
Yeah, fair point.
Are you guys going to consider doing the finale only next year? Next season?
No.
Okay.
I got to run. Bye.
All right, bye. I definitely have questions about whether or not, like, where it goes. Like, are they going to take another 2 years? Because, like, all those, I mean, I don't know where the contracts are on those kids. Millie Bobby Brown is, like, a star in the making, right? Like, she's, like, starring in movies now.
Right.
I think the Finn Wolfhard kid is also somebody that is like getting work.
He's making the rounds. He's doing like a lot of YouTuber stuff.
Yeah.
I honestly, the splitting, like seeming to kill off Hopper and having Winona Ryder leave town with Elle, but also leaving behind all of the like characters that are actually fun in town. To me, makes it feel like, okay, we need to get rid of all of these characters and start a new thing, because like to end that season that way, where you so forcefully split everyone up, to try to bring them back together when the whole idea is that they're just hometown, you know, people with not a lot of special.
Which, by the way, that's another thing that they barely dealt with. Like, it was like a passing mention, and initially I was kind of confused because. When they were talking about, like, oh, it looks like you might have to move, it's like, okay, well, I thought that was tied to the fact that the Russians were buying up all these houses because they wanted to continue to build out their thing, because that was the other real estate thing that they go and beat up the mayor about. And so I'm like, oh, well, if they reveal that the Russians are the ones buying it, then I assume it's stop it. Yeah, like... that it's not getting sold out from under them anymore by some kind of like top level thing. But then also it's like, we never really got a sense of like where they were going. At least that I remember, there was never really any moment where it's like, ah, geez, you know, I guess the only place that we'd have to go is, you know, Bakersfield or something like that. Like, we're going to have to move across the country because that's where my great aunt is. And she's got room for us in her house or something like that. There was no real tension moment of like, oh, I heard you were going to move. She's like, yeah, I hope not. 3 months later, we're all moving.
Yeah.
Like all of the, we've either killed or removed to the point of guest stardom all of our most expensive, actors.
Yeah.
It's like Winona Ryder, Millie Bobby Brown, and David Harbour, like, can now be 3-episode arcs. In season 3,
you know, the thing, you know, oh man, that's what they're gonna do, that's what they're gonna do, and that's gonna suck, because that's what they did with I mean, that's a thing that they did with the OA, which is, you know, this like, metaphysical drama show, right? In season one, it's all these people getting together. And then in season two, everybody splits up. And so you just have these like one-off episodes with the other people back in the other place. And I would, I could also see them do that in a season four. They could have the Winona Ryder episode and then the Hopper episode, but we're really following the D&D crew because that's like, those are the main characters. Those boys are the main characters of the show, not Winona Ryder.
That's the thing. I know I'm beating a dead Demogorgon here, but like, I'm tired of that mythology. Like, I care so little about what is happening. I feel like we have gotten to every interesting thing in the Upside Down. We found it all. Mm-hmm. It's all there. We've explored it. I don't need to see any more.
Especially if they're not talking about it, right? If they're not either explaining why it exists or what caused it to exist or how to stop. Like, if there's a larger issue there and it's just kind of treating the Upside Down as like, oh, no, that's just the thing that's there. And like, well,
yeah, like, what if L is trying to find some random thing and then finds like two government officials having like a secret meeting in the, because that now that's this is the only thing that we know nobody can ever find us is in this, you know, Upside Down thing that for whatever reason we've tapped into. And that's the inciting incident to a conspiracy that they can figure out. I don't know. A million and a half different things that they can do with that show, and they'll probably do none of it. And then, you know, they'll kiss and everyone will applaud. Maybe it is just because it found a tremendous preteen following or teen following. Sure. So it's like, I mean, this seemed like a lot of that. It seemed like a lot of fan service to like, hey, let's do these things. And like the most like crumbs in the neckbeard 80s nostalgia addict and be like, oh, I remember that movie. That was my favorite.
And I wonder if that speaks to how popular the first season was, right? Because after the first season came out, they were I don't know if it was the Duffer Brothers or some Netflix person, but they were out there saying, yeah, this is going to be an anthology show. And if what Netflix pulled out from reading social media or whatever was like, no, people like these characters, people like the kids, people like Winona Ryder, whatever. And that becomes the decision to make, to push them further. Then I think suddenly you're trying to build a mythos on what should have been a closed room, right? Like you should have solved the Demogorgon and that's it. And isn't the world weird? And isn't there a spark in the world? But otherwise, we got to move on. We got a new month. Like, it feels like they had to suddenly extrude out this thing that was not meant to extrude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Apparently, I am not alone in my Susie killed Hopper thing.
Really? Is that a real hashtag? Susie killed Hopper?
No, apparently, a Time magazine, I guess, took a. Yeah, no, apparently that was a thing that went on Twitter was that Susie killed Hopper.
Did this one character completely alter the Stranger Things season 3 ending? People seem pretty convinced from Time.com. Wow. I mean, it's true, though. It was so... Justin.
Dude.
It was so freaking long. It was so long.
I think there's actually a funnier joke in there if like they get to the first thing and then it's like, okay, but for real, give me the thing. And then it's like, okay, well, we cut it off. We get like a little bit of whimsy and then we get, you know, this other thing. But
Yeah, boy.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Bryce, we've been abandoned.
That's it.
Everyone we know and love. So let's wrap this up.
That's right. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being patrons and getting us early at patreon.com/weirdthings. For Andrew Main, Brian Brushwood, and Justin Robert Young, it's been After.
Goddamn right.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.